Good morning. Today's daf in Baba Kama is Zayin. We're on Vav Amud Beis. We are towards the bottom of the Amud. We're going to be starting this morning with a Rabbi Kiva Amar Laba Kasuf Elagabos Min Ha'idis. Okay, Vakav Chama LaHekdesh. And what we're going to try to uncover today, first half of today's daf, is what did Rabbi Kiva mean with Vakav Chama LaHekdesh? But before we do that, let's just quickly review. Mazik, when you damage somebody's property, so the Torah says, Mimetav Sadeh Yishalim, the Mishnah yesterday. At the end of the first mission of the Masechta says, Kishihizik, when damage is done, Chava Mazik, so there's a requirement to pay. And the mission concludes with Meitav Sadeh, with the best of your land. That's the Pasuk in the Torah. And the Gemara understands that the mean as follows. Lands are graded on a scale of A, B, and C, best, mid-grade, and worst. Okay, seems to be that choices are always given in three grades. When you buy gas at the gas station, so there are three choices. And okay, I don't know. It's not always true, but in other words, there are three graded properties. And so, as we already discussed yesterday, they're not objective gradings; they're subjective gradings. But still, in other words, they're graded properties. And when the mazik damages, so he has to give with the best. Who's best? So his best or the nizak's best? So that seems to be a machlokus between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. So yesterday we were introduced to the Braitza. Meitav Sadeh, Meitav Kamo Yishalem, Meitav Sadeh Shel Nizak, Meitav Kamo Shel Nizak, the Rabbi Shmuel. Simplest reading of Rabbi Shmuel is that it's going to be graded on based on the injured party, on the damaged party. He's got properties, and what the Mazik has to take now into consideration is the best of the Nizak, not his own best. And according to Rabbi Shmuel, that would mean that if, let's say, the A property of the Nizak, and I know this is tricky because just got to keep in mind the two parties and the gradings of the properties, and I know I'm saying it quickly, but whatever. If you play it back and slow down, you get to hear it again. And so, but if the, let's say, the A of the Nizak is comparable to the C of the Mazik, so according to Rabbi Shmuel, the Mazik only has to pay a C, and it doesn't have to give more than that because his C is equivalent to the Nizak's A. Okay. And Rabbi Akiva says no. Now, if you look at the wording of Rabbi Kiva really carefully, it's a little bit tricky. Rabbi Kiva Omer, I'm just going back to the Bryce. I'm rereading Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Kiva Omer, you want to find me inside? I'm not starting here, but you could find me right in the middle of yesterday's Amud Beis, halfway down. Rabbi Kiva Omer, lo baha kasav ella gabos and zikim in naidis v'kavachomer lahekdesh. What exactly does he mean by that? So presumably what he means, and this is the Gemara's understanding, we saw yesterday, is that according to Rabbi Akiva, we're going to be grading it based on the Mazik's property, not the Nizak's property. From the Mazik's perspective, what's his A, what's his B, what's his C? And he has to pay with his A. That's the simplest reading of Rabbi Akiva. But then the last phrase of Rabbi Akiva, there we're going to get totally lost. And kavachomer lahekdesh. And how much more so when it comes to hekdesh? How much more so what? When it comes to Hekdesh. Okay, so the first part of today's daf is that we're going to try to unpackage what Rabbi Akiva meant at the end. Okay, so we have a very basic machlokus between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva that when paying with property, you pay with the best property. That's a pasuk in the Torah. And what exactly does that mean? Well, it means you pay with the best property, but whose best property? And that's a machlokus between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, as we just went over. And the truth of the matter is that it's a little bit more subtler than that, as we pointed out in yesterday's daf, but as just a great great framework outline of what we saw yesterday. Let's now continue. Rabbi Kiva Amar Laba Kasav, we are on Vav Amud Beis. We're towards the bottom of the Amud. Six lines on the bottom of the Amud. Seven. Rabbi Kiva Amar Laba Kasav El Agavos and Nizikim and Eidus V'Kavacham Lehekdesh V'Kavacham Lehekdesh. Okay. So we're going to be asking now a really simple question, and that is, what did Rabbi Kiva mean at the end when he said Kavacham Lehekdesh? Now, my kavacham lehektesh ilem the nagach tor di dan l'tor dehektesh. So maybe here's what happened: my animal went and lowered its head and went right into shorshal hektesh, an animal that belongs to hektesh. Okay, and damaged now the property of hektesh. So now the Gemara says shoreo amarachmano velo shorshal hektesh. So the Gemara says no. In other words, you're telling me kavacham lehektesh. And the Pshat in Rabbi Akiva is that when you damage Hekdesh, for sure you're going to have to pay Iddis. Now the Gemara turns around, the Gemara says, but that's not the din. In fact, the din is that you have to pay nothing. Zero. There's a patur. Shor Re'ehu Amar Rechmano. The Pasuk says, in total, V'chi Gaf Shor Ish Es Shor Re'ehu. When your animal goes another person's animal. And so therefore, V'lo Shor Shal Hekdesh. And so that just simply means that the only time there is going to be a liability of Nezek is only when you damage the property of private people. But in other words, but if you're damaging Shurshal Hekdesh, so ostensibly what that there's a patur, you don't have to pay at all. So it can't be the Rebbe Kiva means that you're going to be paying iddis in such a situation. In fact, just the opposite, you're paying nothing. Ela l'omer harei alai mana lebedek habayis. So the Gemara says, okay, so maybe it means the following. Maybe circumstances are such that you made a pledge and you said that you're going to give a money to the Beis HaMikdash. And what's the Gizbar going to do? He's going to come over and he's going to take from Midas. He's going to take from the best property. So lo yehela kabal chov. So the Gemara says, then I definitely don't understand. In other words, you have an obligation, outstanding obligation. It's not Nezek anymore. We're out of the category of Nezek. We're in the categories of just simply Chov. It's an obligation. So when you're a Baal Chov, when you own an obligation, what do you collect from? We learned it in Gittin. You collect from Beinonis. You go to B. And Ubaal Chov Beinonis, top of Zayin Amud Aleph. And the Baal Chov only collects from Beinonis. So v'chitem asav Rabbi Kiva kol Baal Chov nami be'idis. So the Gemara says, okay, so maybe Rabbi Kiva disagrees. Maybe Rabbi Kiva will tell you that Baal Chov collects from A. So the Gemara says, Zikal Mifrach, Mal Bachov, Shekin Yafa Kocha Benizakin, Tomer Behektish, Ara Kocha Benizakin. So the Gemara says, then the Kavachomer just kind of falls apart. Meaning of what Rabbi Akiva meant is that he was talking about Bachov, and maybe he says that a Bachov collects from Idis. Okay, that's great. But in other words, but now to translate that over to Hektish using a Kavachomer, the Kavachomer now falls apart. Because how is the Kavachomer built? We're building the Kavachomer looking at, when it comes to Nezek, let's go over the din by Nezek. When I damage somebody else's property, so I have to pay. When I damage Hektish's property, I don't have to pay. Where's the Kavachomer now? Exactly. Meaning we no longer have a Kavachomer. So Tamar had Hektish, Ara Kocha Benizakin. So now we are still stuck. All we're trying to do right now is just say ape shot in Rabbi Akiva when he says kavachomer lehekdesh. So lolam denakach tur didan latur dehekdesh or dekakash achshor eo amarachman v'lo shor shol hekdesh. So we're going to go back to what we originally presented, and that is that your animal damaged an animal of hekdesh, and I know what you said moments earlier, and that is that your putter. So Rabbi Akiva, sevelak Rabbi Shimon Manasi, kiddetani Rabbi Shimon Manasi omer shor shol hekdesh shenaga shor shol hejot putter. And Shoshal Hedjot, Shenaga Shoshal Hektesh, Bein Tam, Bein Muad, Mishalem Nezek Shalem. So there is a Shita of Rabbi Shimon Ben Manasya, who says that you are liable. When your animal damages the animal of Hektesh, you're liable. And by the way, that liability is going to look a little bit differently than normally what it looks like. Normally, liability, when done via Keren, is first, second, third time offense, you're only paying Chatzi Nezek. And then after that, you're paying Nezek Shalem. But when, according to Rabbi Shimon Manasya, when your animal does damage to a Shor Shal Hektesh, you pay Nezek Shalem immediately, first time offense. But anyway, okay, that's... Wait, just one second. So that's a detail. But the point is that according to Rabbi Shimon Manasya, you're chayiv to pay. And so now when Rabbi Akiva in the Braisa says, Kavacham Al Hektesh, he's following within the Shita of Rabbi Shimon Manasya.
Can the full payment exceed the value of...
Is it going to be capped or is it not going to be capped? Good question. I don't know. It's a good question. So, Yahachi, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Akiva, Maimai, Debe, Idis, and Isaac, Viziboros, Demazik, Pligi. So the Gemara says, okay. So, if in fact that's so, meaning that we're lining Rabbi Akiva up with Rabbi Shimon and Manasseh, so the Gemara says, so you know what I'd like to do right now for a moment, just for a moment, and that is that this is going to be a Havamina. The Gemara is going to end up rejecting it, but spoiler alert. But for a moment, the Gemara says, I'd like to revisit the Machlokas, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shmuel. Meaning, can we go back to the Braisa where all this started, yesterday's daf? And that is, maybe we got it wrong. Maybe we got shot in the Braisa all wrong. So, Ihachi, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva, Mimai, Debate, it's an Izik, Viziboros, and Mazik, Pligi. How do I know that they're arguing about where Mazik and Izik do not have the same quality properties? And the Nizak's property is significantly inferior than the Mazik's property. And the Mazik C is a Nizak C. And they're arguing about now, does the Mazik have to pay his C or does he have to pay his A? Right? That's how we set it up yesterday. And that's how, when reintroducing yesterday's off, that's how we set it up. The Gemara says maybe we got the whole thing wrong. Maybe what they're simply arguing about is this basic din of when my animal damages the animal of Hekdesh, do I pay or do I not pay? Dilma de kuliyama bedin izak shayminan. Maybe everyone's in agreement that we're going to be grading it based on the property of the nizak. And v'achem b'plukta, the Rabbi Shimon Menasev Rabbanan kemiflugi. Rabbi Kiva Savaka, Rabbi Shimon Menasev, Rabbi Shmuel Savaka Rabbanan. And maybe the machlokis over here is just on the etzem din of whether or not you're paying Hekdesh when you damage Hekdesh. Maybe we got it all wrong. So the Gemara says, we didn't get it all wrong. So imkein my lo ba'al kasov. So first of all, it can't be, because look at the wording of Rabbi Kiva as the first words that come out of his mouth. Lo ba'al kasov. Now, what is he telling Rabbi Yishmael? Rabbi Yishmael, you see that pasuk over there? You see how you touch up that pasuk? You didn't touch it correctly. So in other words, first and foremost, says the Gemara, clearly they're arguing about interpretation of the pasuk in terms of metav sadehu, right? When you're paying your friend, how do you pay your friend? Whose property are we using as the barometer of payment? And Rabbi Akiva is certainly seeing Rabbi Yishmael's pasuk and saying, no, that's not how to interpret it. So if what you're saying is that they're arguing about whether you're chayv or patur from shor shel hekdesh, when you damage shor shel hekdesh, so then we would leave the pasuk out of the discussion altogether. That's point number one. Vod my kavachomer lehekdesh. And then point number two is that, right, Rabbi Kiva says, right, first and foremost, lo ba hakasuv, and then he says kavachomer lehekdesh. Kavachomer lehekdesh means, and now that we're here, let's jump to hekdesh. Oh. Meaning that Rabbi Kiva's point of contention with Rabbi Shmuel wasn't about Hekdesh, because we're jumping to Hekdesh. That's point number two. And finally, point number three, Va'od Hamar Avashi, Tanya Behedja, Metav Sadeo, Metav Karmo Yishalem, Le Metav Sadeo Shenizak, O Metav Karmo Shenizak, Diver Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva Amar, Le Metav Sadeo Shemazik, Metav Karmo Shemazik. And last and not least, and this is the Makke Bepatish, and that is that we have a Brisa, and the Brisa says very clearly that they're arguing about who's Metav, the Metav of the Nizak, the Metav of the Mazik. So really, although it was a quick suggestion of the Gemara, it was also quickly rejected. We're back to where we started in terms of the Machlokas, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. And then in terms of saying a pshat in Rabbi Akiva, we did say a pshat in Rabbi Akiva, but only while aligning him with Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh. Okay, Adkan. That really is the first half of today's daf, first part of today's daf. Now is in the books. So what we've accomplished so far today is we have now concluded in terms of the understanding the machlokes, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shmuel, Meitav Sadeu, you have to pay with the best property when you're paying for damages. Whose best property? It's a machlokes, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shmuel, and we're not moving away from our understanding of the Braisa. That's the correct understanding. And then when Rabbi Kiva says at the end Kavachomer LaHekdesh, so that works, but only if you take Rabbi Kiva and align him with Rabbi Shimon Menasseh, who's of the singular position. It's not the majority position that when you damage Shor Shel Hekdesh, you have to pay. Okay.
I don't understand the question. Why would it be related to the person who damaged, whose property was damaged? Why would it be payment should be on his best property if it wasn't his best property that was damaged?
What?
You said that there's a determination on whose property, whose quality A property.
Yes, correct.
The person who damaged or the person who damaged.
Correct.
Right? Why would that be determined? Shouldn't it be the person that's paying on his property? Why?
Wait, we'll go back to yesterday's daf. It will start. Wait just 1 second. Go back to the pasuk. The pasuk says, Metav Sadehu. So that's a classic example where the Torah says you have to pay his property. The Torah uses a pronoun and the Torah doesn't tell us which one. And go back to yesterday's daf where Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel are arguing about how to simply interpret that pasuk. In other words, his property, who's the he?
That's
what they're litigating over.
No, but what did the Mazik damage?
What did the Mazik damage? Who cares?
Who cares? You damaged something.
In other words, it's we're talking about the payment.
Why would you value the Mazik property? What does that have to do with it?
Because the Torah says, Meitav Sadehu.
So there must be the Mazik one, for sure.
Okay, good. Rabbi Kiva speaks to you more. Okay, good. I understand. It's good. It's a machlokas. It's a machlokas tanaim. Okay.
If somebody has two pieces of land.
Yes.
Okay. Do we call it A and B, or A and C, or B and C? How do we classify that?
That's a great question. I don't know.
Because you need to have comparative based on something.
Yeah. Okay, we continue. Ramilei Abai LeRava. Ksiv Meitav Sadeo Meitav Kamo Yishalei. Meitav In Midiach Rinila. Okay, so now for the remainder of today's daf, we're going to be litigating the following, and that is that method of payment, you pay with the best property, right? That's what we think. We just spent the first half of today's daf discussing it. We spent yesterday's daf discussing it. And what discussion? It's a pasuk in the Torah. The Torah says Meitav Sadeo. That's great. So Meitav Sadeo Meitav Kamo Yishalei. So in terms of method of payment, so you're going to be paying with your best property. Good. When I say your best property, again, go back, Rabbi Kibbe, Rabbi Shmuel, who's best property, but you're paying with the best, right? So far, so good. Vehatanya. The problem is, and this will take us for the rest of today's daf, and that is we have another pasuk. Baal Habor, I'm reading the full pasuk. Baal Habor, Yishalem Kesev, Yashiv Leva Alav. So the owner of the pit, right? That's one of your office Nezikin. Damage is done via your pit. You made a pit in a Rishat Sarabim. And somebody's animal fell in. Damages occurred. You have to pay the damages. So what do you have to do? Yashiv laba'alav. Or let me say it. Kesev yashiv laba'alav. So you have to make repayment. You have to make good on the damages that were done. And l'rabo shav kesev afilu subin. And now, method of payment? Anything. Right? Zelle. PayPal. Whatever. Bitcoin. Okay, sorry, I'm just being silly for just a moment. But in other words, you can give whatever you want, and it doesn't have to be cash. In other words, it could be anything equivalent. Shava kasef. In other words, as long as you're providing value of the loss that's done, so you could do that. Okay, so obviously now we are in a bind. In other words, method of payment when you're paying back damages. So on one hand, we have meitav sadeu. You're going to be paying with your property. And not only your property, you're going to be paying with your best property. And Phil likes Rabbi Akiva, so let's just stay with Rabbi Akiva for today. And the best of your property, you the damager. Okay, so in other words, that's one side. And on the other side, Yashiv, Kesef, Yashiv, Larabos, Afilu Subin. And then we have another Braisa having a Lima telling us that, you know, when you pay, as long as you're compensated with value, it doesn't matter. Method of payment is totally irrespective. As long as it's valued at the damage. So that is called a stira. And so what the Gemara is going to do for the remainder of today's daf is try to make resolution between the two. Should I spoil it now? Nah. Now let's go through the Gemara. Yes.
Cash.
Huh?
Settles before court, he pays cash.
Oh, you're already resolving. In other words, you're being miyashev. What the Gemara is going to do, let's go through the Gemara. The Gemara is going to try. Okay, so Amarle Abai Miksiv. Sorry, I skipped, and yes, I did. So Lokasha, Kan Midato, Kan Bakarcha. So the Gemara says we're going to make a distinction between Midato Bakarcha. Now let's say it like Rashi. Really interesting approach of the Gemara over here, and that is that are you going to be easy? Or going to be difficult? Okay. If you're going to be easy, so now that's Midato. In other words, sorry, I did damage. Let's not go to court. In other words, let's just simply get the appraiser. Let's figure out how much damages I did. I'll pay you. So there you're going to be paying Afilu Subin. Oh. But now, Bakarcho, let's say you're difficult, right? I damage you? Oh, okay. All right? Right? Whatever. Get back to me. A week from now, a month from now. How about this? Don't get back to me. Okay? And now he's just being difficult. Okay? But obviously, we have a justice system. Take him to court. We go to court. Court says to him, you're going to pay. Oh, you're not going to pay? Okay. We're going to get there. We're going to see some of your property. So once you decide to go to court and you're going to be difficult, now property, and not just property, it is the best property. So kami daz kam ba karcho. So amar ula bered ravi lai dekanami dechsev yishalem ba karcho. So now ula at least is going to attempt to support this answer. He loved the answer. He thought, okay, good. Not only is it a good answer, it's pshat in the pasuk, yishalem. So Amalei Abai says no. Miksiv yishulam yishalem ksiv midato mashma. Right, very interesting. The Amoraim seem to really be arguing about how to properly interpret the pasuk of yishalem. Yishalem, does that mean hifil causative, meaning you were forced to pay, or the way that Abai just presented it? No, yishalem is afilu midato, not afilu. Sorry, I take that back. Yishalem is midato. Yishalem means that you're paying willingly. Okay, so whether or not the pasuk supports this approach. Machlokas. But Amar Le Abaye Kedemar. Abaye says, I'm going to give a different answer altogether. Abaye did not like the answer of whether or not you're agreeable versus whether you're difficult. Abaye did not like that approach. So now what Abaye is going to give, and let's call this now our second approach of the morning, and that is the following. Now, in order to appreciate this approach, Abaye says, I'm going to go to my master. Now, we know Abaye was raised by Rabba. Both raised, in other words, Rabba provided for Mol's physical needs, and Rabba also was his Rebbe. Okay? Numerous stories throughout Shas that goes over the fact that Abaye learned from Rabba. So whenever Abaye says Mar, he's referring to Rabba. Rabba with a A. So, D'Tanya. Now, this is a comment made by Rabba, but in order to appreciate this comment, so we're going to be learning a Braisa together. So there's a bit of setup. We got to build up this answer, and let's go from the ground up. We start with a Braisa. Hare Shayilo Batim Sad Mukramos Veinamotzila Mocha Machinlo Soma Isarani Ad Mechsa. Okay, so in order to appreciate this, so you're going to be standing at the line in order to receive a distribution because you're poor, and you're now entitled to Matanos Aniyim. So you're below the poverty line. So what's the poverty line? 200 zuz. Okay, and this is going to require work, but anytime we're talking about distribution and any type of social services, you have to see who qualifies and who doesn't qualify. And so as long as you qualify, well, you're below the poverty line, so you're entitled now to a distribution. Now let's go over the halacha. Everything I'm saying right now is coming out of Rashi. Okay, so, but I'm not reading it inside because we got to go quick. So as long as now all your assets are, you're going to be filling out the form and you're going to be reporting all your assets. And as long as all your assets are below 200 zuz, so now you qualify to receive a distribution. As a one-time distribution, you can receive whatever they decide to give you, even though that's going to put you well in excess of 200 zuz. Okay, now, it would, just for parenthetical note, in other words, from the part of the distributor, in other words, if you're, let's say, 199, and now he's going to give you a distribution of 1,000 zuz, maybe that's not so prudent. But again, common sense obviously plays a role, but let's leave that out for right now. Just in terms of the basic halakha, so as a one-time distribution, you can get whatever they decide to give you. As long as you're 199, so you can get now a $1,000 distribution. Again, I know my currency figures are, my numbers are good. What the dollars is, you know, not anachronistic, it's anachronistic. But regardless, you get the basic idea.
But it's only for that distribution.
Perfect. It's only for that distribution, but now, with that distribution, now you're over the poverty line, and now you're no longer entitled to a distribution. And Rashi's very clear. If you're not entitled to distribution and you receive a distribution, that's gzela. That's theft. So in other words, it really is important to know whether or not you're above or below the poverty line. Now here's where it gets interesting. So over here, you go now, and you fill out the forms, and you have properties. And you report. We're assuming everything is done kedasa kedin. Everyone's honest over here. And you're reporting, and einamotzei lemachram. Now, the problem is right now is that you're not liquid. Doesn't matter. In other words, you have assets. But right now, the market's terrible. Okay, now I'm going to leave that vague. And we're going to clear that up. We're going to clarify that point in just a moment. The market is terrible. Meaning, I know it's appraised for 200, but right now, I can't sell for 200 for reasons which we're going to articulate. So now, the Braisa tells us, here's what you can do. You can get, as a one-time distribution, up to half. In other words, you can get 100. Your market value is 200. You can only now, because of the current market conditions, you can get 100. Now, on that Braisa, let's analyze. Very simple. V'havi b'amar hechidami. This is a Abaye now quoting his Rabbi, Rabba, and he says, quoting Rabba, I don't understand. He who's let's take the following into consideration. Let's say the property appraisal came in below 200, meaning his property was at 200, but then market value went down. Everybody's market value went down. So now what? So now his property is actually less than 200. In other words, he's below the poverty line. And since he's below the poverty line, so what can he receive as a distribution? Whatever they give him. They're not going to cap it at 100. So that's if everybody's property went down. So the Gemara says, well, maybe nobody's market went down. Maybe his property really is 200. So why can't he sell for 200? Because everybody knows he's desperate. Okay, and I know people. I have people here in this room in real estate. And I know, in other words, that when people are desperate, so other people are there to take advantage of the situation. And so even though the property appraisal is at 200, but because of his desperate need for cash, so no one's going to come over and offer a full 200 for it because they know he's desperate. Okay. So now where does that put him in terms of the poverty line? So that's really tough luck, meaning he's now still over the poverty line. So he's not entitled to any distribution. Okay, so Afilu Porta, now as you turn to the Amud Beis, that's exactly the Gemara's next point. Afilu Porta Nami Lo Lisvele. So they shouldn't give him a penny. So in other words, so what we're doing right now is that we're really struggling to understand the Braisa. In other words, is everyone market value down? If so, he's below the poverty line. And therefore entitled, at least in that first distribution, to receive whatever he wants. Is it only his property that's not below, that didn't go down, but because of his current desperate situation, no one's going to give him full value of his property? If that's true, then for a second day in a row, mala suerte. So then his luck is really bad, but he's not below the poverty line. He shouldn't be able to get anything. Okay, so how do you understand the braisa? So now v'amar mar. Again, this is all set up. So now this is Abai quoting his Rabbi Rabbah, and Rabbah says the following: "Amar Mar Allah Lo Tzricha De Biyumanisa Yikara Arasa V'Yemitishrei Zal Arasa." Seasonal fluctuation of market value, seasonal fluctuation. Now back in the day, in Nisan, prices of property went dramatically higher. So in other words, and in Tishrei, right, markets fell, and this happened annually. And it was expected. And why? Because in Nisan, we're getting ready for the next season. In Tishrei, however, it's too late. So the Kuliyama Nitri Ad Nisan Mizavne. So now the Gemara says as follows. So where are we right now? So and again, we're going to get back to damages in a moment, but we're still litigating the poverty line and this person and whether he's above or below. And the Kula Aminitra Nisan Mizavni. Right now, we're currently in the fall. And now what everyone's ready to do is wait. Wait until Nisan to sell, because that's when they're going to fetch the best price. So now this person is really strapped. And right now, he's going to have to sell currently right now. In the month of Tishrei, when all properties are low in price. So under those circumstances, so we are now discussing. So is he below or is he above the poverty line? Right? This is interesting. Because if he was able to wait until Nisan, he'd be able to sell the property for the full 200 zuz.
But he needs the money now.
So now, ad paga orcha lamezel, tfei lav orcha lamezel. So now, how much of a drop are we looking at? In other words, Nisan's the high of the market and Tishrei is the low of the market. So how much of a drop are we looking at? It's not going to drop lower than half. It will not. Again, the Gemara is obviously dealing with their reality and their market forces, but it won't drop lower than half. So now, if he has to sell now, he's going to have to take a financial hit. How much? 100 zuz. So therefore, that's the pshat in the braisa. What the pshat in the braisa is that what you can do is you could spot him that 100. In other words, he's not below the poverty line. He's not entitled to a one-time distribution of whatever the gabbai wants to give him. But in other words, because he's forced to sell now, so what you could do now is you could spot him that 100, which he's going to lose because he's going to have to sell now. Right, so Rabbi Lifshitz, to your point, the Gemara says everybody else will wait.
It's market force. If everybody's just down, so he's down too, so he's below the poverty line.
Right, no, but the Gemara's assumption is that he's not, because what everybody else would do is they're going to wait. They're going to wait till Tishrei. Sorry, they're going to wait till Nisan.
They can afford to wait it out.
What's the difference than the previous half minute? It's the same thing.
No, because in this case,
we're not
for them. It's on paper. For them, the value is on paper.
Right. But right now, he's so desperate right now, he would have to sell now So the only thing that the gabbai is now allowed to do, the gabbai tzedak is allowed to do, is just spot him the difference.
That's like your portfolio.
Okay, good. Perfect.
Is the issue just to save him from not to have a half sit maguba? Is that the issue?
I suppose. I would imagine.
This is why the people, whatever you call it, exists. Not true. Momentarily, because it's his momentarily need.
Right?
Momentarily, he still has. He has some value.
Yeah, correct, correct.
Because of now, it's going to be less of a value. So okay. Who cares? Again.
Wait, right. And therefore what?
Therefore we should perhaps not give them at all.
Okay, good.
How are the investors supposed to make
it? Let's start again. Gotcha. We have a brisa. The brisa is very difficult. So Rabbi says, good. So I know the brisa is very difficult. In other words, either the first distribution should be uncapped or he should be entitled to nothing. But that's not what the brisa says. The brisa says give him 100. So now all we're trying to do is just say a pshat in the brisa. So Rabbi now has taught his student Abaye. Here's the pshat in the brisa. So based on the fluctuating market, so what you're entitled to do is that when the market's very low and he can't recoup the 200, so now what you can do is you can just simply spot him the current deficit that he would lose if he has to sell now.
Come along and what's going to give the excuse? I need money now.
I understand. But right now, that's just how the Gemara is flowing. And now with that flow, so now let's make the jump. Good. So now that we have set pshat in the brisa, so what Abai is going to do is that I'm going to take that yesod that was taught to me by Rabbah, and I'm going to now apply it over here. V'hacha nami gabi nizikin. So dine be'idus. Okay, so now, again, what's our avoda today? We're stuck between two psukim. One pasuk says metav sadeo metav karma yishalem, you're paying the best of your property. Another pasuk says kesef yashiv, you just simply have to pay back money. So we have a stira in the psukim in terms of method of payment. Best property, that's one pasuk. Another pasuk, right? Venmo, Zelle. I got some loose change in my pocket. Okay. In other words, any method of payment is fine. So now here's what we're going to say. So the hachinami gabin izikin. So dine beidus, you have to pay with the best property. Iamar le ihu. Now let's say the nizak says to the mazik, you know, havli benus tve porta. So you know what? I know the Torah instructs you to pay me idus. How about this? How about let's move down in grades of property. Let's go to leave your A. Let's go down to B. And what I'd like benus. Now obviously, as benus property goes, so it's qualitatively inferior, which means I'm going to get a little bit more. I want the Beinonis. Now again, back in the assumptions of the Gemara is that nobody wants to lose their Idis. In other words, if you're going to lose any property, you'd rather part with your Beinonis, and certainly you'd rather part with these Zibaris, and you want to retain your Idis, even though, of course, by Beinonis, again, you have to be providing value of damage, which means you're going to be giving a little more Beinonis, but that's fine. So Amar Lei, Isha kalkedinich shkol kedashta. And now the mazik says to the nizik as follows. Look, the Torah insists that I have to pay you idis. If you want idis right now, I'm going to give you idis right now. V'ilo. But if you're insistent, then I'm not going to give you idis, but rather I'm going to give you beinonis. And so here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to say beinonis? Oh, we're not going to go with the current market right now. You know what we're going to do? I'm going to fast forward now a half a year from now to when the market is low. I'll give you, I should say better, sorry. We're going to fast forward a half a year from now when the market's high. And I'm going to give you now that price Beinonis, not the current market price of Beinonis. So shakal be ki yukur delakame. And so therefore, you want Beinonis as opposed to Idis? Okay. But not on today's market value, but 6 months from now. When the market value increases, and obviously that means less property for you.
That deceives the purpose, because the whole reason why he preferred, because he wanted to have a larger land.
So not only that, by the way, but Rashi adds, and I didn't read I'm not reading any Rashi's inside, but Rashi adds also that as far as the Nizak is concerned, the Beinonis also happens to be Bar Metzra. It happens to be contiguous property to his property. And that's another motivating factor in terms of why he wants Beinonis. Fine. So right now, that is the Yeshiva Psukim. Okay. And admittedly, by the way, that's a lot. It's a little bit complicated, it's a little bit difficult. In other words, but Meitav Sadeh Meitav Karmo, if you're ready to take it, is fine. Oh, you want Beinonis? No. Okay. So then what we're going to do is that we're going to move to a future price where we all know that the price is going to increase a half a year from now, and I'm only going to give you based on that price. So Maskavar Vacha Bar Yaakov Im Kain. So Haratikochon Shal Nizak and Eitzel Benuz Viziboris. And Rachman Amar Mimeta Va'atamar Benuz Viziboris Nami Lo. So the Gemara says, it's just not Mistaber. That's not a reasonable approach. Meaning, obviously, what the Torah wants to do is not only pay back the damaged person, but like pay him back well. Meaning, what's the clear intent of the Torah? When you do damage to somebody, you're going to be paying your property and you're going to be paying your best property. Meaning, it's almost like it's a kanas to the mazik. You damaged, you were irresponsible, you have liability, you're going to make good. And now the nizak is looking at you and saying, you know, I don't want nidus, I want benunis, for whatever my reasons are. And now you're telling me that now we're going to take the mazik and put him in the driver's seat? Now, you want benunis? Now he gets to leverage the price? That's the Gemara is simply saying it doesn't sound reasonable. So Elam Rav Acher Bar Yaakov Yikal Ledmui LeBachov Medmin Leif. So the Gemara says, okay, so as much as we tried with that second approach, and boy, did we try, the Gemara now is going to give us now a third possible approach. So again, where are we? Stuck between Meitav Sadeu and Kesef Yashiv, which means that you can pay back any which way you want. So Alam Rav Acher Bar Yaakov Yikal Ledmui LeBachov Medmin Leif. So let's compare it to a Baal Chov. In other words, just regular obligation. Baal Chov dina bebenunis v'yamar lei havli ziboros tfei porta amalei shakalta kedina shkol kadasha v'yilo shkil keyukre delakame. Okay, so now when it comes to a Baal Chov and I have an outstanding obligation and now I want to pay back and again, what does a Baal Chov have to pay? What does he get paid with? He gets paid with benunis. So let's say now he says, you know, rather than benunis, I'll take the ziboris. So now the borrower can say ziboris. And again, ziboris would obviously mean that you have to give more property. But ziboris, oh, I'll give you ziboris, but not on today's current market value. But again, 6 months from now. So I'm calling it a third approach, but it's really very similar to the second approach. But we're just using a Baal Chov as a model. So the Gemara says, okay, that's great. So maska v'ravach b'reid ravika im kain now dalas b'fnei lovin da'amrlei ilu haveli zuzi haveshaka kadasha v'ashtu zuzi gabach eshkol kuyukri delakamei. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you know what you're going to do now? You're going to disincentivize lending. And in Gittin, we cover this idea again and again, and that is that the Chachamim, at the best of their ability, encouraged lending. Encouraged lending meaning that we never want to penalize the lender. We want the lender to be paid back and as fairly as possible, as reasonably as possible, because we want lenders to lend. Okay? Nothing has changed in the last 2,000 years, 3,000 years, right? In other words, right to this very day, right? That's all, right? In finances and economics, that's, you know, it's what you hear. And that is that, right? We want lenders to lend, and we'll try our best to stimulate lending. So back in the Chachamim had a similar mission statement. And so therefore, if over here you're going to put a lender in a position where, in other words, he's entitled to benunis, but ziboris, oh, now the borrower gets to say to the lender, oh, ziboris, oh, let's, in other words, we're not going to go with the current market value, we're going to go with the future market value. Like, in other words, it can't be. You're going to put the borrower in the driver's seat. The lender is now going to be taught a lesson. I'm not going to lend again. And we don't want that.
Well, lenders go by current appraised value.
In other words, the Gemara for a moment proposed that if he was
lenders are not going to agree to that. So that lenders by nature will only go by what is valued now.
Correct. So in other words, so it can't be the Gemara is working backwards. The Gemara says that since that's true, it can't be that we're going to allow the borrower to have leverage. It can't be.
It has to be.
Perfect. Okay. Right. So the Gemara says, if anything, let's compare it to Ksuvas Isha. Da Ksuvas Isha Dina Bezibaris. Now, when you pay Ksuvas Isha, death, divorce, so the woman is entitled to a settlement payment as a Ksuva. We spent on a Masechta talking about it. And we also know, we did this back in Ksuvas, we did this in Gittin, we're doing it now again in Baba Kama. And we also know that the Ksuvas Isha, you only have to pay Zibor, you don't have to pay Beinonis. Even though it's an obligation, but it's an obligation where the owner of the Ksuva, the holder, the debtor of the Ksuva, i.e. the husband, if it's divorce, i.e. the estate, if it's death, so only has to pay with Zibaris. Okay, cut him a break. So now let's say the woman says, you know, I don't want Zibaris. I want Beninus. Okay, now for the first time, so over here, what they ask is for is I want an upgrade. Now, granted, by the way, as an upgrade, she's going to get less property. Right? That part's obvious. So now, Amar La. So now here, the husband or the estate is going to say to her, look, as far as the Chachamim are concerned, we only have to pay Ziboris. You want Ziboris, we'll pay Ziboris. We'll pay based on current market prices. And Ilo, Shakle, Ki Yukre de la Kama. But now you want Beinonis, meaning you're asking a favor from us. Because you want upgraded property. Okay, fine. We'll give you the upgraded properties. And obviously, even at the current prices, it's going to be less Beinonis. But you know what? We're not even going to go with current prices. In other words, there's seasonal fluctuation in terms of market value. And we're going to now say to you, you want a favor from us? We're going to base it based on future market value, not on current market value.
You use leverage, basically.
Right. Correct. And now, Ms. Stauber, now it makes sense. In other words, now the lender, in this particular case, it only works by Ksufa Zisha. Now the lender is asking for a favor. Now we could put the debtor in the driver's seat, telling them that we could base it on future market value. Obviously, that would be a benefit to the borrower, but only in this particular case. Okay, so now Mikomakom Kasha. So the Gemara says, okay, so where are we right now? We're stuck because we have yet to have offered an approach in the Gemara in terms of how to be miyashiv Meitav Sadeo Meitav Karmo versus Kesef Yashiv Larabas Afilu Subin. Which one is it? What is it? What is the form of payment?
I missed something. When he says the future higher price, let's say.
Yeah.
So that's what? So what's the problem in that?
There's no problem in that.
Less land.
That's why she gets even less land.
Right. Even less.
Even less land. Even less land.
The man needs his less because it's a higher value. But also, he's saying, now I want to go because you're asking me.
He's got
it. Now we're going to go on a future price, and you're going to get even less.
He's got it. So Vaham Meitav said... It's so funny. Whenever it comes to properties, by the way, he's running circles around me. Circles. it's like it's his first language. It's unbelievable. I'm sorry. So mikomakom kasha amarav called the
Iv.
Yeah, called the Ivle mi meitav leisavle. So the Gemara says as follows. So as far as Meitav is concerned, this is now Rava's approach. Kol di'ayvle, anything that you give him, mi Meitav leisavle, you give him from the best. So the v'ham Meitav sadeo ksiv, the Gemara says, yeah, but it says Meitav sadeo. Ela ki asra papav rav unabirid rav yeshua, mi be rav parshuha, kol mile Meitav hu. In other words, it goes like this. And this is going to be the accepted answer of the Gemara. And that is that, look, if you're going to be giving not property, but you're going to be giving movable assets, metaltalin. So movable assets, so you know what you do, and I know this is anachronistic, but at least it helps us understand. You go on Amazon, you go on eBay, and you could sell it wherever you want to, whomever you want. It's such a movable item. In other words, literally movable, and also, I say movable, meaning you can move it on the market. So you can't sell it here. Great. You can pick it up and you can move it somewhere else. So lavar me'ara. Now that's true for everything but property. Because you know what you can't do with property? You can't, right? You can't move it. You can't pick it up. You can't move it. So delaysav le'mi meitav ki'echad delikfos alazvine. So now with property, so because property now, the better quality property is going to fetch, it's going to be easier to sell. That's why when it comes to property, the Torah then says to the mazik, you now are going to have to be paying me meitav. Because it's property, and we want it easier for the injured party to receive compensation and receive payment for that compensation. That's why it's Meitav Sadeo. So after, granted, by the way, a lot of effort. That was a lot of effort, right? 25 minutes of discussion, an amud of Gemara in terms of how to be Meyashiv the Stira, but the Gemara's conclusion. Okay, I saw this coming, right? I didn't spoil it, but now we're here. And that is that the yish of hapsukim is very simple. If you're going to be paying metaltalin, so that's yashiv. That's the pasuk of yashiv. That means that you can pay back with whatever you want because it's movable. And again, as long as obviously the movable that I give is providing satisfactory value of the damage that you did, perfect. What are we worried about? We're worried about him receiving compensation. He was duly compensated. You gave him cash. You gave him goods. It doesn't matter. As long as they're appraised for that value, and it's very easy to just simply turn around and sell it to whomever you want. When the Torah says, Meitav Sadeo, Meitav Karmo Yishalem, that's property. And by property, you need to sell property. Selling property is not as easy as selling movables. And therefore, Meitav Sadeo. Adkan.
Sure.